No, I'll make sure I remember where I'm at. It's an honor to be here with you guys. I host a final sit-down board for the longest running TV show on the Pursuit Channel. But I never set out to do a hunting TV show. That was never my intentions. God actually called me to ministry when I was a senior in high school. And I served in the ministry. I served for 15 years vocationally as a youth pastor. But I always loved the outdoors. I loved the fish. The church that I last served at, we had a doctor at Gunnery from a Sunday school class, and a bunch of folks in our Sunday school class, which are the guys who enjoyed the outdoors and liked to hunt and fish. And so we started hunting and fishing together, and we started doing that, trying to find a way to hang out with one another outside the walls of the church on Sunday. And we started hunting and fishing together, and decided to buy a video camera and start to film some of our adventures. And so we did that, and we did that for a couple years filming. And I had a friend who was on staff at the church that had a TV ministry. They had their own TV station that aired with a local cable. And they said, hey, you guys have to put together a little 30-minute TV show. Come up with a name, put a devotion at the end of it, and we'll air it on our network. So we had to come up with a name. And I get asked a lot about our name. Why would you send out what that name comes from? That name actually comes from Scripture. It comes from Mark 13, 32, and 33, which means, or says, no one knows the day of the hour the Lord returned, but the angels of heaven on the Son, but only the Father. And we're called the Beelzebub or Beelzebub because nobody knows the price of his final descent. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We have to be ready for that. Amen? Yes. And so we came up with a name, and we put together the first season of episodes, and we did a devotion at the end of every one of those episodes. And I want you guys to know it was the worst TV you've ever seen in your life. Oh, my gosh. We had no idea what we were doing. It was so bad. No clue. But that's kind of how we started. We are locally on the Channel 12. We aired there for 2 years, and we got a phone call from the TV station in Tulsa. And they said, hey, we hear you guys have a faith-based, kind of a family-oriented hunting show. Would you guys want to be a part of our Saturday morning outdoor lineup? We got some hunting shows, we want you to be a part of it. So we went from about 18,000 households to about 800,000 households in the Tulsa area. And this is great, this is going awesome. And then we aired there for a year, and then the Pursuit Channel came along. Now, there's three major outdoor networks. We're kind of your ABC, NBC, and CBS of the outdoor world. That's the Outdoor Channel, Sportsman's Channel, and the Pursuit Channel. We started there on the Pursuit Channel. They picked us up and added us. And now we've been there. The Pursuit Channel has been in existence for 9 years, and we're going on 8 years with them. We're the longest running program on the Pursuit Channel. And so we went from about 18,000 households to about 800,000 households to now about 45 million households. All across North America. We're in every dish, DirecTV, AT&T, UVerse, several other outlets. How many people have dish or DirecTV? All right, so we're dish 393, DirecTV 604. We air July through December, so we just finished the season up. But you can catch all of our past episodes of Marvel TV. You can go to our website, finalsnapboard.com, and find those and watch those past episodes. Anyway, so we just finished up that. Here's the thing, there's a misconception that if you're on TV, you must be rich. That is not true. Matter of fact, we actually pay for it. So for us to do finally sit outdoors, we actually have to pay the network to air our show, right? that you want to quit your job, where you get a paycheck every 2 weeks, you have your insurance, your retirement, you want to quit that job so you can hunt and tell people about cheese for a living. Right? For some of you, you're going to like a freaking pole in your family. Right? That's not good. That's not going to work very well. So I build up the courage. I go to my wife and say, hey, sweetheart, I'm here for my life. Is what you called me to do. And my wife responds without hesitation. She said, you're the leader of this household, and where you lead, I'm going to follow. And I said, from richer to poor, if this is a poor, I mean it. And 6 years ago, I resigned from my position at the First Baptist Church in Sulphur, Oklahoma, to pursue outdoor ministry full time. And I share that story with you to say this. We serve an unbelievably faithful God. If God's called you to it, He's going to take care of you. And so now in ministry, God will be in 45 homes, and we do it. And if you've watched my message out of the word before, what makes us different is we do a devotion at the end of every episode, and our goal is to reach the good old boy. Now, good old boy is a politically correct way of saying redness, right? is there any country folk? We got any good old boys? And so reaching the good old boys is tough, because here's the thing, men's ministry is hard. Did y'all know that? I realize there's women in the room, but most of the majority, about 90% of partners are men. Did you guys know that men's ministry is tough? How many of you men in this room have ever missed a turn while you were driving? Put your hands down, though you did. I've never missed a turn while I'm driving. We got out in the road, and I'll often say, hey, sweetheart, you're supposed to turn back there. I'll say, no, you see that tree right there? It's a beautiful tree. I want to show it to you. And I turn around and go back.
A young man in Florida emails and said, I committed a lifelong crime.
get a job. I had to move back to my parents. He goes, my life is literally crumbled around me. I've always loved a bunch of fish, and I my life is crumbled around me. And he goes, this week I wrote a suicide note. I wrote a suicide note on my pencil, taking my own life. And he goes, I happened to, earlier that week, because I turned on the TV. And he goes, I come across Fight of the Sin Outdoors. And he goes, you, at the end of that episode, you did a devotion and you were talking about how God has a plan for each and every one of us. And he goes, God spoke to me. And God made me realize that he's not done with me. And he said, I just wanted to send you an email and say thank you so much for saving my life. And making sure my little girl still has a father. Thank you for your ministry. And you know, a woman, a lady, she said, me and my husband, we've been married for 18 years. He goes, we've got three children. They're 14, between the ages of 14 and 9. And they've always gone to church with me. Dad, my husband, has never gone to church with me in 18 years. As our kids have gotten older, they decided they wanted to stay home with Dad. They didn't want to go to church with us. And my husband was at it. He said, you're not going to make the kids go. If the kids want to stay home with me, they stay home with me. And for the first time since they've had kids, this wife went to church by herself, heartbroken. She felt like she was losing her kids. And she shared about her heartbreak in her Sunday school class. And a man in that Sunday school class said, has your husband ever watched Bible to sit outdoors before? She said, no, I think he has. She said, well, I know he's a hunter. Go home and record it. He told her to go home and find the Pursuit Channel recording. And about a week later, she says to her husband, one night after they got the kids in bed, she says, she was doing dishes, and she said, hey, sweetheart, I recorded a hunting show all over your watch. He realized that, well. She says, yeah, I recorded a hunting show. I want you to watch it. He said, okay. She says, well, Bob said I was to turn it on. And he goes, she turned it on. She goes, it's the episode when you had the Benghazi. He goes, the guys who wrote 13 hours of Benghazi. Mark, guys from John P. He goes, you're in Texas. Shoot pigs out of helicopters. There's nothing more manly than hanging out of a helicopter. Shoot pigs. I just want you to know. There's nothing more manly, right? There's no fun. You will never get closer to Rambo in your life than standing on a skid on the rail of a helicopter with a safety harness shooting out of it. It is just an incredible experience, right? And she said he turned it in and was like, this is incredible. This is so much fun to watch. And she said, when it got to the end and you did the devotion, why? I got my Sunday school class where my husband would watch. She said he watched for several more weeks. And she emailed us on Monday. And she said, the reason I'm emailing you is because yesterday morning when I got up, I took a shower, I got dressed, and I walked out, and my husband was sitting at the couch with his slacks on and a collared shirt. And for the first time in 18 years, he said, sweetheart, do you mind if I go to church with you tomorrow? She goes, I think that ministry better save my marriage.
Amen.
Guys, and God's been faithful to use that and continue to use it. So we come to prayers and what we do. But tonight we're going to be talking about deception. And so how many folks in here enjoy hunting fishing? How many of you guys enjoy doing those things? Right? Perfect. Here's the deal. If you're going to be a good hunter, you have to be good at deception. Amen?
Amen.
You got to be good at it, right? Men, we spend thousands of dollars. We tell our wives it's hundreds. We spend thousands of dollars. Right? We use calls. We buy this camel because we're trying to deceive that animal that we're hunting. Amen? And these animals that we enjoy hunting, they've been gifted with incredible senses that we have to deceive, right? How many guys have heard this story before? You know about the baby, though, don't you? Right? 30 minutes later, she just moved about 75 yards. She's still doing it. And I go home, you won, right? She won't leave, right? We have to be able to fool those animals if we're hunting. And we're going to use deception. We use calls, decoys, camouflage, all those things to deceive those animals. Here's the thing. Folks, we also have a deceiver. We have a deceiver in this world. You know what his name is? His name is Satan. And he wants to deceive me and you in the world we live in today, right? And I hate to give him credit, but I got to give credit where credit is due. Satan is a really good liar. Satan is a really good deceiver. He shows up in the garden, right? He shows up in the garden in the form of a serpent with Adam and Eve. And God told him, don't eat the fruit of this tree. And he says, what? What God really said? that demand something to eat from your wife, you can eat. Not if you want to eat it. You can eat it. And so Adam is standing next to Eve, and she takes a bite. She says, "Give us Eve." And she says, "Oh, and he eats the bite." And we see the fall of man take place. Satan's been lying and deceiving since the beginning of time. And I hate to give you credit, but he can give you good lie. And he can give you deceiving. So tonight we're going to talk about three ways that Satan wants to deceive me and you in the world we live in today. Number one is this. Satan wants me and you to believe. Satan wants me and you to believe. He wants me and you to believe that the things of the world are greater than the things of the kingdom. He wants us to believe that. Now, before we dive into that, I want to share with you a passage. I think it's going to help us understand who our deceiver is, get us a little better picture of who he is. I'm going to read to you. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Let me read this to you. It says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Now, the word devour is not a pretty picture, is it? I think I've ever watched one of those Nat Geo or Discovery Channel videos or product magic. You guys ever watch one of those? Listen, when they get a zebra on the ground, it's not pretty, is it? I mean, there's gore, there's blood, there's guts, there's growling, there's teeth, right? It's a scary situation, right? I mean, they're vicious. They're devouring this animal, sometimes even while it's still alive. It's vicious. I have a 7-year-old little girl. You have a dog, I want you to know about it. I'll fight you. That's fine, right? I got a beautiful little girl, and my little girl, here's the thing, we'll go to the zoo, and she thinks all animals are cute and cuddly. We'll go to the zoo, and she's like, "Daddy, look at that grizzly bear. I just want to give him a hug, and go, that's a really good idea." He would like to eat your face, literally. He would eat you if you gave a grizzly bear a hug, right? Here's the thing, if I'm watching the Discovery Channel or that Geo documentary over product lines, is ever doing a part of the zebra, and my little girl walks by and sees it, she's going to want to sleep in between me and her mama for the next 10 years. Because it's vicious, right? It's vicious. And I believe it's an accident that our deceiver is compared to that of a hunting lion in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. So number one, Satan wants to deceive me and you into believing the things of the world are better than the things of the kingdom. I'm 36 years old. And for the most part, my generation doesn't go to church. Why? Because we live in a culture that says to us, "You go get yours. You pursue the things that make you happy," right? Is that what our culture says to us today, folks? I graduated high school with 36 kids in my graduating class. Little bit of And one of the things in my class is that it's Tim. And Tim was physically gifted. Matter of fact, Tim looked almost identical to the Russian from the Rocky movies. Big old muscled up guy. Tim was a horrible student. Didn't make it to grade, barely graduated high school. Poor. Tim came from no money. Matter of fact, he didn't have running water or mouse in the shower every night in his grandma's house next door. I lost track of Tim after high school, and about 3 years ago, I got a phone call. And I answered the phone, and it was my friend Tim. And he said, "Hey, Brad, I hear you living up here kind of around Oklahoma City." And I said, "Yeah, man, I'm in Edmonds, just north of Oklahoma City." And he goes, "I live on the south side of Oklahoma City." And he said, "Man, I'd love to reconnect. Can we go have dinner sometime?" I said, "I'd love to. You know, I'm high school buddy. He's been 15, 16, 17 years." He said, "Yeah, that'd be great." So I went to bed for dinner, and I got there. I was a few minutes late. I called and said, "Hey, Tim, I'm behind. I just got here. Are you here yet?" He goes, "No, I'm pulling in the parking lot right now." Well, the only vehicle pulling in the parking lot was $180,000 Range Rover. So I'm like, looked around, and he goes, "Yeah, I see it." And I'm like, "Is he all right?" This $180,000 Range Rover pulls up next to my friend from high school. Tim steps out of it. And immediately I said, "He's selling drugs." I was depressed. sleeping on couches, doing whatever I could to survive because I was still trying to work out at a gym, whatever I could. And I was at the gym working out one day, and a guy walked up to me and he said, "Hey, I need a guy who looks like you to help me sell a product." And he got in on a multi-level marketing company. And he said, "Man, I worked." He goes, "I worked it, and I worked it, and I worked it." And he goes, "Brad, last year, I made $9 million. I said, "Say what?" He said, "I made $9 million last year. I'm 13 in the world in sales for this particular company." He said, "Brad, I own a 12,000 square foot house in the Rivendell edition on the south side of Oklahoma City. I have a pool in my living room. I own a beach home right on the beach in Destin." He goes, "I went to Rio de Janeiro speaking at an event. I thought it was beautiful. So I bought a house in the Rio to have a baby Jesus picture on the big statue tribe." He said, "I thought it was beautiful. So I bought a house next to it." He said, "Brad, I own a 60-foot yacht." He goes, "I've been all over the world." I'm like, "What? I know inside of the world. What are you telling me this? I was a youth pastor." Right? "I'm barely making it. Right? I'm barely surviving. Right? We had ramen noodles for lunch. And at dinner, we set it up. We put the hot dog, we cut up the hot dog and put it in the ramen noodles for dinner." Right?
The Daily Oklahoma, our newspaper, Oklahoma, did a big article about me, the Iron Man.
work his way as his number. Jason Parker, the starting defensive tackle, number 99. Listen, if you weigh 99 pounds and you're starting a defensive tackle, you should be in fourth grade. You should be starting on a high school varsity football team, man. And here we are, like I'm moving to Allen into this mess, right? And not only was Allen horrible, but they had one of the hardest districts in the state. The number 7 team in the state, Davenport, was in our district. The number 2 team in the state, the Luther Lions, was in our district. They had a running back. His last name was Dupree. He had a famous uncle. He was a pretty good little football player. And the number 1 team in the state was the Washington Warriors. Had several Division I athletes on their team. They're all in our district. Well, the season gets underway, and we're coming up to the 8th game of the year, and the Washington Warriors, the number 1 team in the state, is coming to our house. They've already beaten Luther. They've already beaten Davenport. We've won 2 games. We're 2-5. They're 7-0. Coming to our house, right? Well, coach, it's Thursday, and last practice before the big game. He says, come on in, boys, take a knee. We come in and take a knee around coach. He says, take your helmets off, boys. He says, for us to be Washington tomorrow night, I'm thinking, boy, this is like one of those movie speeches, right? We need a good one here, coach. Right? I'm thinking we're going to have, it's going to be one of those movies you're going to get that dramatic music in the background and the coach like gives you a recipe to win. He says, boys, for us to beat Washington tomorrow night, on the way down, I'm going to have to wreck a bus. I'm going to have to do what's best. And I feel like half the team, more than half survived, we're going to have a chance, right? He said, but that doesn't mean we're not going to go out and play hard. It's an incredible opportunity to play against some great talent. He goes, but boys, you may not know this, but Washington has not given up a rushing touchdown all year long. No one has scored a running ball on him. He goes, tomorrow night, the Allen Mustangs are going to score a rushing touchdown. Friday night goes around. We're out doing our warm-ups, doing our jumping jacks, and Washington starts to take the field. They got chest here coming out of top of the coach. They got full beards, half of them are wearing wedding rings. Our jumping jacks, they started out looking so good, and all of a sudden they're like this, we're all standing like this. You know, which is scared to death, right? Well, game gets underway. It's 4.5 minutes into the first quarter, and Washington's up 21-0. It's bad, y'all. They're beating us like a drum. And I'm not really sure, but on that next possession, we got the ball. And our quarterback, Shannon Bell, scared to death, voice cracking, gets in their center. It got so warm because their defensive line was so dominant the other time we had the ball that they're back and playing like Humphrey Hungry Hippos or Battle Sheep. I don't know. But Gary caught the ball around the right side and he planted that outside foot and he found the seam and he turned up the field. And folks, he was gone for a 76-yard touchdown run. Folks, we went nuts. We're done with Gary on our CD. This is what it's like. Da, 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 da. And the announcer literally would hit the podium. Da, 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 da. That's our fight song, skipping through with the game. We're going nuts like we just won the Super Bowl, right? Well, Washington, right outside Norman, right? The University of Oklahoma is. And Allen's kind of southeast Oklahoma, we're like a little shooting star, right? And I'm sure those folks from Washington were like, he's doing it. I have the lowest scores, 21-6, and we're acting like we just won the game, right? Well, I'm on the extra point team. I go out, and my job is, I go out, I put my foot next to another young man named Brad Newell. And my job was, as I protected my inside gap, nobody came in between me and Brad, that was my job. So I line up, I put my foot next to Brad, I get down on my stance, and I begin to hear this sound coming from across the line. And it sounds something like this. And I look across the line and line up directly They got a sweat straight creatine you can apply. This dude's a beast. He's a beast. He's growling at us. And he stops growling. And he looks at us. And I apologize. I'm 36 years old. He was 17 at the time. And I can't get my voice as low as him. But he looked at us and he said, "Boys, I'm about to show you why we're number one in the state." Oh, really?
Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "For two are better than one,
Because if you turn from the Lord, one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, who can defend himself in a court of three strands? Is not good and broken. Folks, we need one another. We need one another. We need the church. It's not perfect, but we need it. So number one, Satan wants us to believe that the things of the world are better than the things of the kingdom. Number two, he wants us to believe that we can do it on our own. And lastly, I grew up in a tiny town in western Oklahoma as a kid, as a small child. That's where I grew up. Actually, 2 miles from the Texas line, a really big town called Brayton, Oklahoma. I had 6 kids in my kindergarten class. Little bitty town. I had 2 boys in my class. Me and Tommy Music. Competition for a girlfriend was not hard. Those poor girls. Me and Tommy. That was it. Which one? You won, right? Next guy comes in and gets him by his throat, holds him to the ground. Next guy comes in and gets him by his chest, begins to restrict him every time he gets his breath. And 99% of the time, by the time you're done, 4 dogs get you again, get the pastor, the greyhound killed him. The greyhound killed the cop. The ranchers loved it because they were saving the kids, they sold the hide for them as a kid. It was so much fun watching the greyhound work. It was a blast. Incredible memories growing up as a kid. And fishing, man, I loved the fish growing up as a kid. When I was a little kid, I had a Snoopy fishing pole. Anybody ever heard of Snoopy fishing pole? Now, there's Lion the Queen, there's Vader, Spider-Man fishing poles. When I was a kid, it was Snoopy. That was our only option. And I had a Snoopy fishing pole. And we had a farm pond, and it was July, and it was muddy, and all the banks water proceeded down, and we were fishing. And my dad was standing about where our merchandise table is from me. And the pond made an L, so he had it back to me. And I'm sure every time I caught a fish, I said the same thing. I said, Daddy, I caught a big one. And I really didn't get hurt by this big one. But I watched that 100 times that day, catching the fish. But this time it was different. That old pole. And I knew I had something different. And I said, Daddy! I got a big one! And you know what he did? He turned a little bit. Alright, son. I threw another cast, right? Little did he know there was an epic battle taking place. I mean, I fought on this stupid pole, and I fought and I fought. Have you guys ever seen those guys who deep sea fishing for marlin and do sand fishing stuff and they pour water in the ears and big reels of smoke comes out of them? They pour water that zip code 202 and smoke. I'm fighting this fish, and finally, I get it up over the bank, and it is a 7-pound largemouth bass on a snoop. This is the joke.
Jonah the whale story.
He's going to swallow me and take me in the water. So I'm backing up, trying to get away from this fish, right? And the fish is coming after me. He's coming out of the water after me. Because it's connected to my fishing pole. I'm just right? The fish is coming after me, and I'm screaming, Daddy! Daddy! And my dad does this double take on his shoulder, right? And he throws his pole. I'll never forget. He has travel boots on. He had blue jeans, a blue t-shirt, and a ball cap. He does this double take on his shoulder. He throws his pole. And he comes running right out of the end of the bay. And he sinks down in the mud. And the next thing I see is the widest pair of socks you've ever seen in your life. Loses his boots in the mud. Runs up, jumps on that fish, and curb him. Never forget it. My mom and dad actually met. They both played basketball. South Carolina, Oklahoma State University. They were both basketball players. And after I graduated from college, I moved back to Greenville. My dad was originally from. And my family had a farm. They had a ranch. They had some cattle. And my dad was working cattle and doing that. And my mom was a school teacher. And it was about this time of year. And my dad was putting out hay and feeding cake and breaking ice and things you got to do if you got cattle. And it was flu season. He went to the doctor and said, Doc, I think I got the flu. And they did a blood test and came back and said, Man, I don't have the flu. You have a king. But you're 28 years old. If you're a young man, you got your whole life ahead of you. You're a college athlete. You're in great shape. You're strong. You're healthy. Man, you're going to defeat this. 6 months later, this little boy was at his dad's funeral. I share that story with you tonight to say this. Satan wants to deceive me and you into believing that we're guaranteed tomorrow, when in fact, we're not. None of us know what this life is over. We got a lot of faith that we're going to make it to tomorrow when we pass a car at 70 miles an hour at 4.5 feet. None of us know when this life is going to end. But this book that I've been reading from tonight tells us that when this life is over, there's two destinations. For us in the room that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we get to spend eternity in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Here's the thing. This book also says that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there's another place that you're going to spend eternity in. It's called hell. I don't tell you that to scare you. I tell you that because it's the truth. And here's the thing. If you're in this room tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you were to take your last breath tonight, this book you'll spend eternity in hell. I don't tell you that's scary. I'm telling you because it's the truth. But here's the thing. You don't have to. You see, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He lived a perfect life. And He went to the cross and He died. Bearing my sin and your sin. And He died as a perfect sacrifice. He shed His blood. And He spent 3 days in the grave, and the grave couldn't hold Him. And He went back to heaven and said He's coming back for us one day to bring us to heaven with Him. Amen. It's going to be incredible. If you're in this room tonight, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand something. It's not an accident that you're here. It's not a coincidence that you're here. It's not a coincidence that I'm here and that God has laid this message in my heart to share with you. I want you to know it's only divine appointment. You see, I spoke not long ago when a church was Washington, Iowa. So miserably cold. An event similar to this, and afterwards we had an invitation, and I met this man in his late 70s. He come walking down, right here, man. He come walking down the aisle, tears running down his face, and he walks up to me and he said, I gave my life to Jesus tonight. I said, Amen, brother. And he goes, but you understand, I'm supposed to be here. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I lived about 55 miles away. And he said, my wife's been sick. I've been calling fire to make some extra money. And I was driving through town. My pickup broke down right outside the window right there. He pointed at the stained glass window. He said, the snow, the cold, it was night. I saw the lights on the church. And I walked up the stairs, went in the church. And I walked up the first guy I saw. And I said, excuse me, sir, I need a can. He said, well, there's only one can. He walked an aisle and talked to him. He said, what's going on? He explained it. He said, how about this? He said, we're having wild game dinner at our church tonight. He said, go make me a plate, go get you something to eat. He said, go take your keys and look at your truck for you. He said, man, thank you. That guy went made me a plate. And he sat down and he heard the gospel. And he came down the front and said, you see, I'm supposed to be here tonight. And I looked at him and I said, yes, you are. I said, yes, you are. I said, God's been pursuing you, and he's been chasing you, and he wanted that chase to end tonight. And I want you to know, if you're in this room tonight, and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, it's not an accident that you're here. It's not a coincidence. It's a divine appointment. You see, God's been chasing you, and he's been pursuing you, and he wants that chase to end tonight. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask you guys to bow your head and close your eyes, and I want to give us an opportunity to respond to the Lord who's spoken to you. I'm going to start with those in the room that know Jesus is their Lord. You know that you were, if it's not your last time, you're going to go to heaven. But maybe tonight you say, you know what? I've been believing Satan's lies. Man, I've been pursuing things over the world and the things of the kingdom. Man, I haven't been the husband, the father, the wife, the spouse. I haven't been the man or woman that I need to be. Man, I've struggled with sin. I haven't been plugged into the church. I'm just not doing the things that I need to be. And God convicted your heart about some things in your life that need to be changed and rearranged for you to be all that God has called you to be. And Christian, if you're in this room and God has convicted your heart about some things that need to be moved around and changed for you to be all that you can be, would you just raise your hand tonight? It's just me and you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? You say, that's me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. I'm just going to pray over you. Anybody else tonight? Bold enough to say, man, I was just in a tough place. Man, life's been tough, and I'm not walking with the Lord the way that I should be right now. But man, I want to get back there. Anybody else? Raise your hand tonight. So that's me. Dear God, for those that just raised their hands, God, I don't know them, but you do. You know everything about them, and I pray that you, God, would reveal to them the things in their life that need to be changed and rearranged for them to be all that you called them to be. Now, if you're in this room tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you realize that tonight is a divine appointment, that God's been pursuing you, and he's been chasing you, and you're ready to start a relationship with Jesus tonight, I'm not going to embarrass you. All I want to do is be able to pray over you and pray for you. But if you're in this room tonight and you're ready to start a relationship with Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you tonight, would you just raise your hand? It's just me and you. Anybody ready to start a relationship with Jesus Christ tonight? You realize that tonight is a divine appointment. He's been chasing you. He's been pursuing you. And you're ready for that chase to end. Anybody? But you just hold me up, hold your hand up so I can see. Once again, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Anybody? Dear God, I come to you. God, I thank you so much for this church and for this event. God, I thank you for all the folks that are here. God, I pray that, God, you have spoken to each and every one of us and challenges, God, with your truth. God, help us to be aware of the deceiver and how he wants to lie and twist things. And God, help us to be aware of his deception. God, let us don't fall for his tricks. Lord, thank you so much for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. God, so that we can spend eternity in heaven. God, we don't deserve it, but we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Guys, thank you guys so much for allowing me to come and share with you tonight. And be with you.